So this is the second part then of the lecture on gay identities and conflicts in Britain. And I got as far as the 1950s, and in particular the effect of this book, the Kinsey Report, Sexual Behaviour in the Human Male, and here you can see on this slide sexual behaviour in the human female. Next slide, please. Again, that's a more recent edition of the same thing. You can still buy it in the shops. And in French. This is a kind of interesting slide, this, because do you know what this is? This is a record, it's a disque vinyl, from the 50s, where this was very common in the 50s, you could listen to lectures, des conférences, etc. And this one is by a doctor, and it's called What You Can Learn from the Kinsey Report. And look at the picture. Yes, very shocking. Very, very, very shocking. I like this this vinyl disc. Now, I mentioned that after the Second World War, there was an attempt by the elite to re-establish traditional morality. And this meant that in the 50s, there was a big campaign against homosexuals. For example, in 1938, before the Second World War, approximately 1,000 gay men were in front of the tribunals every year. And in the 1950s, 4,000 every year. Yeah, so things were getting much more difficult. And gay men in London in particular had to be very careful. You mustn't have a book with the phone numbers of your friends, because if the police come to your flat, they will take all the numbers and go and find your friends as well, and attempt to find out the truth, whether they are homosexuals or not, in the traditional way which police try to find out the truth. So it was a very dangerous time. The number of suicides rose considerably. In 1953, a Labour Member of Parliament was arrested for being homosexual, and this was the end of his political career. And the same year, in 1953, this gentleman, John Gielgud, was arrested. He is one of the most famous actors of the 20th century. Here you can have it, you can see him playing the role of Hamlet, thank you, yes. What's it? Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio, a fellow of infinite mirth. There you go. And here he is again. And he was arrested, but he was not sent to prison. He had to pay a fine. Il devait payer une amende. But he was very worried, because, of course, this was in all the newspapers. The next time that he went to work on the theatre, he was very worried. But in fact, when he arrived on stage, the entire audience stood up and applauded him. And that was very interesting, because it's very difficult to know what was public opinion at this time. Nobody really knew. But it appears that public opinion was not as negative as one might think. There was another example I saw of a very ordinary man, a bus driver, and he was arrested for homosexual activity. And of course, he was very worried, because all of his friends, his bus driver friends, they didn't know. It was a secret, of course. And he was very surprised, because in fact, the bus drivers said, "Oh, well, you know," they supported him. They said, "Oh, it's not a problem for us. It's your problem. You know, we don't care." So there are some signs that perhaps public opinion was not as negative as the big campaigns suggest. A journalist, Rupert Cook, was imprisoned for 9 months, and he wrote a book about his experiences in prison, and this all encouraged the debate. So there was a rising debate in the 1950s. It was no longer a secret. And finally, there were a few reasons which led to change. One of them was that sections of the elite were very worried about blackmail. Because if a politician was gay, then a criminal could contact him and said, if you don't give me military secrets, I will tell the newspapers that you're gay. Yeah, and there were a lot of the elite were worried about blackmail. Le chantage devenait un vrai problème pour l'élite. Yeah. It was also a rather hypocritical time in a way. For example, Winston Churchill's secretary, you know, Winston Churchill, the great war hero, his secretary was gay, and everybody knew, and Winston Churchill knew, and nobody cared as long as it was secret. And so it's a rather strange sort of way of looking at the world, in a way. Next, please. So, as I mentioned, the arrests and prosecutions for homosexuals increased in the 1950s. And in 1954, the well-publicized trial in the tribunals of Lord Montague of Beaulieu led the Conservative government to set up a departmental committee under Sir John Wolfenden to consider both homosexual offences and prostitution. So it's an interesting idea. Yeah, they had a committee to consider two questions, homosexuality and prostitution. So you can see that in the mind of the elite, they were two immoral activities. Now, if you read about this committee today, it can be a little amusing, because they had a committee. I think there were a lot of men, and I think there were two women. And in the late 1950s, this was very difficult for the men, because they found it impossible to talk about sex in front of women. This was the morality of the time. This was the rules of the time. There are still rules like that. There are still things which are unsaid, but the range is wider. And so what they did is they said, it's impossible to say homosexual if there are ladies here, and it's impossible to say prostitute. And so they replaced these words with the names of a famous biscuit, Huntley and Palmer. So instead of saying homosexual, they said Huntley, it's a biscuit. And instead of saying prostitute, they said Palmer, which is a biscuit. Now, this is very, very interesting, because, of course, our first reaction is, this is very ridiculous. And we can very quickly get to the idea that in the past, people were so stupid. This is not true. In 20 years' time, your children will think that the rules you live by are just stupid. Yeah. Historians are not paid to find people stupid in the past. That's not what we're paid for. But it does show that it was a very strict moral rule. There are still strict moral rules today. There are some questions which, if I asked you, you would refuse to answer because it's not acceptable conversation. But the rules were much stricter in the 1950s. Next, please. And so here you have the Wolfenden Report, 1957. Report of the Committee on Homosexual Offences and Prostitution. This report, very surprising, this report said we should abolish the law which makes homosexuality illegal. So they recommended making homosexuality legal. They did not say that homosexuality was okay. No. They said it should not be illegal. And one of the interesting points is that some of the members of the committee were religious people, priests, and the Church of England was one of the groups which said homosexuality should not be illegal. Because what they said is homosexuality is immoral, but many things are immoral which are not illegal. For example, adultery. And so the opinion of the Church of England, or of a section of the Church of England, was this is not a question for the law. This is a question for personal, individual morality. Uh, Just after this, a group of intellectuals wrote a letter to the Times. Une grande tradition anglaise quand on veut lancer une campagne, écrire une lettre au Times. Ce serait une tribune dans le monde, ce serait en France. And this included Bertrand Russell, Clement Attlee, ex-premier ministre, Bertrand Russell, donc grand philosophe, and a group of intellectuals who, most of whom were not gay. So for the first time, well, for the first time since the 1930s, you got a group of people who were not gay defending the interests of gay people. Next, please. However, it has to be said, 1958 was the Wolfenden Reports, but there were 10 more years before the law changed. Yeah, the law changed 10 years later.
J'essaie de le retrouver. Je sais jamais si c'est en 68 ou 69 que l'homosexualité devient légale, mais bon.
À la fin des années 60. Right.
So, something else happened.
And that is that after 1968, with 10 million workers on strike in France, the victory of the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, the civil rights movement in America, this 1968, the idea of liberation moved to more and more groups of people. And you get the foundation of the gay liberation movement at the end of the 1960s. And this is the first gay pride. The first gay pride in 1970. And if you look at it, you can see some of the aspects of this movement. First of all, there's a lot of policemen. Are they protecting them or controlling them? I'm not sure. They may be protecting them, actually. You can see the campaign for homosexual equality. That was one of the campaigns. And you can see some of the slogans. First of all, a joke. Homosexuals are revolting.
Ça peut vouloir dire les homos c'est révoltant ou les homos sont en révolte.
Donc, so a joke. Very English, yeah? Let's have a joke. Everything. Yeah, you need a joke all the time. Here you get a more straightforward demand. We demand the right to show affection in public. Nous exigeons le droit de montrer de l'affection en public. But perhaps the most obvious thing to see, which is what you can't see, is what is not there. No trade unions, no Communist Party, no Labour Party, no Trotskyist organisations. Yeah? So it's what is absent, which is the most notable thing here. Now, I know this thing, you might not see it. So, small groups, certainly some individuals from the left, but no organisations. It was too early. This is in 1970. Things got a little better during the 1970s. Next slide, please. So here you have one of the magazines. I don't know, can you see a date up there somewhere? Certainly the beginning of the 1970s, gay left. So obviously these were people who felt that this could be made into a political issue, and it was. Gay left magazine, so this allowed, newspapers are always very important in any campaign, because it means you can have a debate inside the movement. What is the best way to move forward? C'est sans doute vrai, mais... Next, please. Next slide, please. So here you have another one, Gay East Midlands, 1983, so this is later. But Gay East Midlands, so this is a magazine for just a small part of the country. So you can see it's a much bigger movement because every town has its own magazine. Next, please. And here is one particular episode which is interesting. And it's a song. It's a rock song from 1976. And the title of the song is Sing If You're Glad To Be Gay.
Alors chantez si vous êtes heureux d'être homo.
So there's something very interesting about this. First of all, it's a completely different tone from The Well of Loneliness and so on, where it's terribly sad to be gay. Well, it's very sad to be homosexual, but you know, please don't treat us too badly. So this is the whole idea. In the 1970s, the word gay was adopted. And of course the word gay, the source originaire de gay, c'est joyeux. So using the word gay was in fact a slogan to change the stereotype about tragic gays. But this one is a particularly interesting song because this was a rock and roller, Tom Robinson. He sang rock songs about many, many subjects. But in this song, the chorus is sing if you're glad to be gay, sing if you're happy that way, the chorus. But what's interesting about that is that the chorus is for everybody to sing. And so this was a very unusual attempt. So this is a gay singer asking everybody in the audience, gay or straight, to imagine for the time of the chorus that they are gay and happy. Yeah. So this is very classic with a chorus. You often imagine everybody. You ask everybody to imagine something. So, for example, if you sing a song about being a soldier, in the chorus, everybody sings, "I love being a soldier." It's a very. There are a million songs where you do this. Everybody sing along means everybody pretend with me. But this one was trying to get everybody to pretend to be gay and happy. That was very, very difficult in the 1970s. It was a great success, and it sold millions. So something had changed, and this was a very interesting moment. Next slide, please. And here you have the lyrics, which are very ironic and perhaps a little sarcastic. The British police are the best in the world. Of course, this is irony, yes? I don't believe one of these stories I've heard about them raiding our pubs, gay pubs, for no reason at all, and lining the customers up by the wall, picking out people and knocking them down, resisting arrest as they're kicked on the ground, searching the houses and calling them queer. I don't believe that sort of thing happens here. And then that's the chorus for everybody to sing is, sing if you're glad to be gay, sing if you're happy that way. Pictures of naked young women are fun in Titbits and Playboy, page 3 of the Sun. There's no nudes in Gay News, our last magazine, but they still find excuses to call it obscene. Read how disgusting we are in the press, the News of the World and the Sunday Express. Molesters of children, corruptors of youth. It's there in the paper. It must be the truth. Yeah, so a sarcastic song about being gay in the 70s. But no doubt what is surprising about this song is it was not a song popular in small circles of gay people. It was a song popular on the radio, the BBC refused to play it, but in the discotheques around the country.
Next, please.
We have even more lyrics. Okay, I'll read them all to you. Don't try to kid us that if you're discreet, you're perfectly safe as you walk down the streets. You don't have to mince or make bitchy remarks to get beaten unconscious and left in the dark. I had a friend who was gentle and short, got lonely one evening and went for a walk. Queer bashers got him and kicked in his teeth. He was only hospitalised for a week. So, sit back and watch as they close all our clubs, arrest us for meeting and raid all our pubs. Make sure your boyfriend's at least 21 so only your friends and your brothers get done. Lie to your workmates, lie to your folks. Put down the queens and tell anti-queer jokes. Gay lips ridiculous, join their laughter. The buggers are legal now, what more are they after? Now the last part is really interesting. Because the last part here is addressed to gay people, who secret gay people. And he's being sarcastic, he's saying, yes, lie to your workmates, lie to your folks. You know, continuez à mentir et insulter les gays, parce que si on est homo et on veut le cacher, une des meilleures manières, c'est d'insulter les homos. Et c'est très cool. And so he is kind of criticizing gay people who remain secrets, saying that you should be public because if you're secret, life is more dangerous for everybody. So a very particular point there. Next, please. So, at the end of the 1960s, homosexuality is legal. And in the 1970s, attitudes changing very quickly. And I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Sometimes public opinion changes after the change in the law. And I think that's the case with gays. In 1968, if the government had had a referendum, I think that there would not have been a legalization of homosexual activity. But after it was legal, then people discovered that they knew gay people. Before 1968, the gay people were secret, and so everybody had their own, often ridiculous, imagination about what gay people are like. But in the 1970s, because it was legal, people said, oh, wow, I thought I knew no gay people, but in fact I do know gay people, and they're almost human, yeah? Okay, so that was a very big change there. However, there were still some campaigns later on in the century. In particular, Margaret Thatcher introduced a new law, or a new clause in the law, about local government. This was called Clause 28. And Clause 28 said that schools must not promote homosexuality. Donc ça rendait illégal, je cite, la promotion de l'homosexualité dans les écoles, et en particulier la présentation de l'homosexualité comme un choix aussi valable qu'une autre. Devenait illégal en 88 avec Clause 28. Yeah. And so in particular, there was a big fuss about a children's book called, I can't remember exactly, Jane Has Two Mummies, something like that, Jane Has Two Mummies. And this was a big scandal, yeah. And this led to this. And the campaign against Section 28. Next, please. Oh, of course, some famous people from British popular culture were gay. Freddie Mercury, is that Freddie Mercury? Yes, I think so. Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen, was particularly well known for this. The 1980s is also the decade when the world discovered AIDS, ou on découvre le sida. And this, of course, was extremely dangerous for gay men. However, bizarrely enough, I think this helped public opinion to be more accepting of gay men. Partly because the only way for the government to attack AIDS is for people in schools, etc., to discuss sex. If sex is secret, AIDS goes up like that, you know, absolutely massively. So there was an obligation because of AIDS to be more open about sex. Next, please. This was one of the first campaigns in the 1980s against AIDS. AIDS, don't die of ignorance. It was a very scary, very frightening campaign. There's about 10 years where the drugs for AIDS are no good. Today they're pretty good. They're pretty good today, the drugs. It's very hard work. You have to take drugs every day and it's very tiring and they make you ill. But today it's very rare, in rich countries, it's very rare to die of AIDS today. But for 10 years, hundreds of people every month were dying of AIDS. And this was very, very shocking. This was one of the advertising campaigns. So, which leads us to... Je crois que je vais finir tôt aujourd'hui parce que j'ai presque fini. Encore 10 minutes, c'est bon, je crois. So, this is the Gay Pride today. In Trafalgar Square. So Trafalgar Square, Gay Pride. And if you look at this picture, if you look at this picture, you can see something particularly interesting, because Gay Pride today is sponsored by the Mayor of London, le maire de Londres, c'est marqué. Yeah. Donc le maire de Londres exprime publiquement son soutien et il donne de l'argent pour l'organisation. So it's completely official now, whereas of course the first Gay Pride was not at all the case. Next, please. There are also organizations today for groups within the gay community. So this is, for example, the Older Lesbian Network for older women. There have been two enormous reforms in Britain. In 2005, Gay Civil Partnership, le partenariat civil homosexuel. Now, in this case, the British government and the French government made a different choice. In France, they invented the PAX, and the PAX is for anybody, gay people or straight people, and in fact, most PAXes are between a man and a woman in France. In Britain, they decided to have a partenariat civil in 2005, only for gay people. But this was, in both countries, this was a short period of a few years before gay marriage was possible. Now, this is a very interesting story, really, because when they invented the PAX in France and they invented the civil partnership in Britain, it appeared to be impossible to have gay marriage. Public opinion was really against it. But only a few years, 6, 7 years, 10 years maximum, public opinion went over, which is an interesting case. Now, civil partnership and marriage are not details. In particular, when people died of AIDS, there were some very terrible, terrible stories where a man died and the man who was living with him had to leave the house because, in fact, when the man died, everything he owned belonged to his parents and nothing to his partner. Yeah? So those are very, very big legal questions. Otherwise, also, there were many cases of men in hospital with AIDS and the hospital refused to allow their partner to visit because it was family only. Yeah, only your family can visit. And so if the parents were hostile, so some very, very dreadful, dreadfully tragic stories, yeah, where your partner is dying and you can't see them, you know. So that, I think those things really helped the dynamic for civil partnership and then gay marriage. And like other reforms, after they have happened, they begin to appear like details. But at the beginning, they're really not details. They're very, very important things. There are other things about gay marriage, of course, for pensions. Now, you're very young, so you don't think about pensions. But I am married, and if my wife dies, I get half her pension. Si ma femme meurt, j'ai la moitié de sa pension de retraite en pension de reversion. Okay? And so, obviously, this is also important because with gay marriage, this is also the case for gay couples. So these are important things. Yeah, I know you're feeling very young, but you know, I think that's very good news. Next, please. One of the important campaigns recently has been around gay men and women being parents and the right to adopt children, if possible, and that's something which is still going on. This is a recent poster. This is just 5 years old, I think. It's a political poster. Some people are gay, get over it. Les gays, ça existe. Vous allez vous remettre un jour. That's the slogan. So, an ironic slogan, but this is interesting because this kind of poster was impossible in the 1970s because nobody would understand it. Yeah. So this is the some people are gay, get over it, you know, is a very interesting slogan. That's a 1980s banner from Scottish Pride Scotland, from Gay Pride in Scotland. Even in the, this is 2007, even in the Regent, this is Cornwall, you know, the extreme end of Britain, and you have the Cornwall Gay Pride picnic, okay, and all the, you know, gay in Cornwall websites. That's another example of the same thing. Stop there. This is from the beginning of the year 2000, and very interesting, the TUC, the Trade Union Congress, the Federation of Trade Unions for the whole of Britain, the only federation, and you can see here, discriminating against lesbians and gay men isn't fair, but it's legal. We need a new law against discrimination. Again, this is the student union, LGBT, lesbian, gays, bisexual and transsexual. Next, please. And then since 2008, I showed you the poster of the poster of the trade union saying we need a new law. And in 2008, there is a new law, and it is today in Britain, it is illegal to discriminate against people because of their sexuality. There are a few exceptions. If you are a religious organisation, for example, you are not obliged to accept gay and straight people in the same way. And so here you have the pink guide to adoption for lesbians and gay men. Next, please. This is a recent campaign saying that there is still a lot of work to be done for gay equality. So it begins by saying, nothing left to fight for, you decide. Alors, il n'y a plus besoin de faire campagne. Décidez-vous après avoir lu ces informations. 24% of the population think that homosexual activity should be illegal. 24%, so it's still quite high. 45% think that same-sex couples should not be allowed to get married. This is before, this is 2 or 3 years ago, before the gay marriage law. And 56% think same-sex couples should not be allowed to adopt children. Okay, so that's a leaflet from Stonewall. Stonewall is a gay rights campaign. And just to finish with a couple of celebrities, George Michael. Joe Orton, he's a famous playwright here in Damat, Josh. This is going back, this is not recent. Francis Bacon, a famous gay painter, and this is one of his works, quite violent work. I think you showed up there. This is Francis Bacon. He is one of the most influential modern artists, but it's not pretty. It's not pretty. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of quite scary in a way. And it's all about being torn to pieces. Benjamin Britten, who's a composer and an opera and a writer of operas. Oh, and Jeanette Winterson. Jeanette Winterson is a lesbian novelist, and in fact, strangely enough, she came from the same small town which I come from. Next, please. And so here we have, just to finish then, the two very successful novels by Jeanette Winterson, Oranges Are Not the Only Fruits, which is, what was it like in the 1960s and 1970s for a young lesbian in a small industrial town? And this is a new one that just came out last year. Why be happy when you could be normal? And this is what her mother said to her one day. She said, I want to be happy. She said, well, why be happy when you could be normal? So a very, very nice thing there. Okay, so I'm going to stop there for today. Thank you for listening. And remember to revise everything for the exam.